So this evening, let's turn to Deuteronomy 26. We'll be doing a lot of reading tonight, going through the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is 120 years old. He's only a few years from his death. It's just about time to turn things over to his successor, Joshua. And that's where we'll be going next time, to the book of Joshua. And we're entering into those final words of the Lord through Moses to the people of Israel concerning their law covenant with God and how their success comes through their ability to submit themselves to the Lord and to the law. First, we're going to look at first fruits. And it shall be, when you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance and possess it and dwell there, that you shall take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which you shall bring. That means the first part of the harvest, the tenth of the harvest, which you shall bring of thy land that the Lord thy God gives thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name there. And you shall go to the priest that shall be in those days, and say to him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. So here, the first fruits, the first tenth of the harvest goes to the Lord. And it's really essential. I think the crucial verse here is the where did I see that? Which the Lord, that the Lord thy God gives thee, in the middle of verse 2, that the Lord thy God gives thee. Because oftentimes we have stuff, we're stewards of stuff and money and everything, and we think it's ours, and we tend to be stingy when we have that attitude. Most of the world is like that. But when we realize that everything we have comes from the Lord, then it puts a whole different connotation onto it. Well, Lord, how much would you like me to use for myself? What should I do with it? How should I wisely manage it? And he's saying, you know, as far as the law goes, first give that first fruits, that first part to the Lord, the first fruits. And next he's going to give a little history lesson. And you shall speak and say before the Lord your God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. Now you might wonder, what? My father, a Syrian? It's actually referring to an ancestor, Jacob. Jacob, who spent 20 years in Syria with Laban as he worked off that debt to get Laban's daughter, Rachel, for a wife. That's what he's talking about here. Now, next he's going to talk a little bit about how their time in Egypt, you know, after they ended up in Egypt, how that went bad. And he says, and the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. We learned that from the book of Exodus. And when we cried unto the Lord our God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he brought us into this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He's talking about the 10 plagues that was put upon the people of Egypt, and the last one, the death of the firstborn, and the dividing of the Red Sea, and the marching through the Red Sea, the collapse of the Red Sea on the Egyptian army, and miracle after miracle. The fire at night and the cloud by day. And now, he said in verse 10, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, has given me. And you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God and rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, and you and the Levite and the stranger that's among you. When you've made an end of tithing all the tithes of your increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So they were certainly to be compassionate in their giving, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. And then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed them. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away anything for any unclean use, nor given anything from the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, in the land which you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. And it's a prayer of thanks and a request for a continual blessing. And, you know, the attitude of heart toward wealth here in giving is really essential also. Oftentimes, people who are wealthy will think it's in their own doing and will look down upon poor people that are poor. And God is just saying, I have my poor people. I have the fatherless. I have the widows. I have the wealthy also. And oftentimes the people who are wealthy will look down on the poor, and the poor will look up as if there's something inferior and downtrodden. And the exchange of money really should be out of a heart that looks at one another as equals. Not like the rich looking down on the poor and the poor looking up as there's some kind of a lesser character than those that are rich. God has put both here that we might share his abundance. And so he's praying here, you know, for the proper heart in the heart of giving, and a proper heart to continue to recognize that all that we have comes from the Lord. And next, that reminder that they're special people of God. This day, the Lord your God has commanded you to do these statutes and judgments, and you shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, and it says in the King James in verse 17, you have avouched. Now, I don't use that word a lot. Maybe you do, but I don't use avouched. It means proclaimed. You have proclaimed the Lord this day to be your God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord has avouched, or proclaimed you this day, to be his peculiar people. You know, this word peculiar means a lot different thing to us today. It actually means a particular and special treasure. When he says peculiar people, he means a special treasure, particular treasure. So he, you this day to be his particular treasure that he has, as he has promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments, and to keep you above all nations which he has made, in praise and in name and in honor, that you may be a holy people unto the Lord your God as he has spoken. Now, today God's people are whosoever's, spoken of in Romans 10, and we're also called saints, spoken of in Romans 1, chapter 27. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day that you pass over Jordan. He's speaking ahead now. You're going to cross over the Jordan into the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and shall write upon them all the words of the law, this law which you are when you are passed over, that you may go into the land which the Lord has thy God gives thee, a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, I've explained that before. In order to have milk and honey, you have to have pastures. You have to have grasslands to feed the cows. They have to be healthy in order to give milk. They have to be, actually, they give milk after they calve, after they have a calf. And to have honey, you have to have flowers that attract the bees or blossoms on fruit trees. So it really talks about a fertile land. And the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. Therefore, it shall be when you be gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and shall plaster them with plaster. And there shall you build an altar unto the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord your God of whole stones. Don't carve them to make them look pretty and fancy, just whole stones. And shall offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord your God, and shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. and shall write upon the stones all the words of the law very plainly. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day, and thou art become the people of thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command this day. You may wonder why I'm reading through this. Well, how often do you read through Deuteronomy, honestly? If you do a yearly reading, you probably do. But this may be the time that we read through Deuteronomy for some time. So here, next, so he's just exhorting them, do the commandments, keep the commandments, do what I say. Next, warnings against idolatry, a variety of sins against one another, already mentioned in the law. So I'm not going to read through the rest of the verses except go to chapter 28. The first 14 verses deal with the blessings for obedience. And he's talking specifically about blessings in business and in battle. In other words, they would conquer their enemies. The enemies would be in submission to them. They would be blessed in the marketplace, in the fields, in the cattle, and all of that. So business and battle. And when you get to chapter 28, verse 13, it says that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God. And then verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So the same specific blessings that would come on them if they were following the law in business and in battle are now cursings for disobedience. Then in verse 16 it says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. So in the business, battle, in commerce, all of that. You know, without the Lord, we don't prosper, without the Lord's grace. And now go down to verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you. Chase you down? Wow. Until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Chapter 29, the covenant renewed again in Moab. I just want to read through it. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb, in Mount Sinai. And Moses called unto all Israel and said to them, You've seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh. And unto all his servants and to all his land, he's just reminding them of what he's done. And the great temptations which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not gotten old upon you. Your shoes have not gotten old upon your feet. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us. And I like that how he says came out against us unto battle. And we smote them. Isn't that great? Lord. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance to Reuben, to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Just don't forget how we won those battles. You were with me. I was with you. Stand this day, all of you, verse 10, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and your stranger that's in the camp, from the hewer of your wood unto the drawer of your water, that you should enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord thy God makes with thee this day. What was it, the Amalekites that traveled through the land with the bad shoes and the bad water and the moldy bread and all, and they made them hewers of wood? That he may establish you today for a people unto himself, that he may be to you a God, as he has said to you, and as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, neither with you only, pardon me, do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed, and you've seen their abominations and their idols and stone, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them, lest there be among you man, woman, or family, or tribe, whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And then he just goes down through at this point to remind them of all of the potential dangers that lie in mixing with the people of the land. And let's see, in verse 26 says, "For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given to them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, for those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." And just to a reminder to be faithful people, no matter what land you're in, doesn't matter if you're in Horeb, if you're in Moab, and don't be foolish. Don't be tempted by the things that are around you. Yeah, they look good, but you need to stay close to me. He says, don't be tempted by them. Stay faithful, even though there's a lot of glitz and a lot of glamour in the world around you. Stay faithful to me. Don't be tempted to get away from me, that your heart be drawn away from me because of these things. I don't know, perhaps we can apply this to our lives today. If we can use your imagination a little. I mean, think about it. We're not going in and conquering lands. We need to reconquer our own land for the Lord. No. Verse 30, or chapter 30. He's going to talk now about blessings of returning to the Lord. "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shall return to the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you this day, and you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that when the Lord your God will turn your captivity and have compassion on you, will return and gather you from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of your of thine be driven out from the outmost parts of heaven," that means driven out from to like anywhere under the heavens or to the ends of the world. Doesn't matter where they may scatter you. "From there will the Lord your God gather you, and from thence will he fetch thee." And we've seen that go on since 1948, haven't we, when Israel has been in the land. "And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and will do you good. Multiply above your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, your children, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, which persecuted you." This is a powerful verse for those that persecute Israel, isn't it? "You shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you this day. And the Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of the cattle, in the fruit of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And it's just a reminder again of the blessings that God has for his people. We have blessings of God today. We have blessings of forgiveness. How about a blessing of acceptance by God? He accepts us. How about a blessing of inheritance, that we inherit the kingdom of God? How about that blessing of nearness to him? We can sense that, can't we? Don't you sometimes sense that you're far from God, other times that you're near to God? The blessing of God that comes from the joy, no matter what our circumstances are, we may not be happy, but we can be joyful. There's a peace that doesn't make sense to people around us. That's one of the blessings of God, the blessing of righteousness, that God sees us as righteous, the blessing of salvation, Most of the world doesn't know that. They suffer under the fear of death. We might suffer under the fear of pain, but death doesn't have a sting. The grave doesn't hold any victory over us. And then in verse 11, I like what he says here. He talks about the availability of God's word. Just in case, you know, you think it's not there right in front of you, he says, if for this commandment, this is verse 11, for this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who can go up to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is, it's really right before us now. We can carry it around with us. We can memorize it and have it in our head. We can put it on our iPods and our MP3 players. We can put it in ebook readers. And I mean, we can have it on our computer. We can do word searches. It's amazing. It's really before us. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. You have to be discerning about who you listen to, but it's there. It's not hidden from us. And let's see, choice of life or death. He says, see, I have set before you this day in good and death and evil, and that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. And then verse 17, but if your heart turns away, so you'll not hear, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed, your children, may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave to him. Just cleave tightly, hug. For he is your life in the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. And I think of these pictures I see of soldiers now getting off the plane and running into the arms of their family members, and how they just grab them. It's like cleaving, like I don't ever want to let you go again, you know. We should have that attitude toward our Lord, that we want to cleave to him and stick to him. But this exhortation is from the Lord to choose a life of obedience. Choose it. We have that choice. We can be rebellious. And then verse chapter 31, here we have Joshua. We're going to be introduced to Joshua, the new leader of Israel. Not that we haven't been introduced before, but here he is, something new title. Verse chapter 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel, and he said to them, I'm 120 years old this day. His birthday, he's 120. Where do you go to get those candles? Well, I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord has said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Why? Remember, he hit the rock in anger. He represented the Lord in a bad fashion. The Lord your God, he will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you. And you shall possess them. And Joshua, he will go over before you, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, to the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he it is that goes with you. He will not fail you. He'll not forsake you. And Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong of a good courage, for you must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to his fathers, or to their fathers, to give them, and shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before you, he will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, which carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their ear hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children and strangers that's within the gates, anybody that's come, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God and observe all the words of his law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. So the law is to be read every 7 years, right through it. So people would keep a knowledge of the law. So the people would know what it is they're called to do. It wouldn't just be hearsay. You couldn't say, well, what does it mean? And somebody says, well, it means this. Well, are you sure it means that? Well, what do you think it means? Well, it means something a little different. Well, they could have that law in their hearts. They could know. And we can read the Word of God each day because we have it. It's not far from us. It's never far from me. And it shouldn't be far from you. Well, you can carry one in your car underneath the seat. You can keep one in your desk. You can keep one at home on your nightstand. There are enough Bibles around that you should be able to have them around the house even, so you stumble over it. No matter what room you're in, if you need to look up a verse, it's right there. It's handy to have there. We can place it in our hearts. We can put it deep in there so that it pops up and it's there. And that way we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then after telling him all this, he's going to now foretell a rebellion because he knows what's in the hearts of the people. Israel's rebellion, verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, your days approach that you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. In other words, I might put him in charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will sleep with your fathers. And these people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, where they go to be among them and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I'll forsake them. I'll hide my face from them, and they'll be devoured, and many evils and troubles will befall them, so that they'll say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And we know that they're going to go into Babylonian captivity. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned to other gods. Now, therefore, write this song. Write this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear to their fathers, that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and gotten fat, then they'll turn to other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. This is the danger of affluence. The danger of affluence is that we can forget God. We can worship other things. We can make them our God. It's such a danger. It was a danger then. The hearts are still the same. Nothing's really changed. And it shall come to pass, in verse 21, that many evils and troubles are befallen them, and that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. It's something about music that when words are set to music, it seems to be easier to remember. God told Noah, build me an arky. Well, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Others, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. I don't know how long ago I learned that. I forget it, parts of it. But you put it to music and something about it sticks in our head. In fact, there's a website where you can go and it has memory verses that are put to tune. It's really kind of clever. This guy's got a song. He's got a voice kind of like Don Gibson, if you're a country western fan. Just a deep, mellow voice, you know. It's a way to learn. So he has this song in verse 23. He goes on and says, "And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear to them, and I will be with you.' Then it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, 'Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know your rebellion, your stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands.'" Well, not what you call an exhortation, but it is an exhortation. It's intended to prick their heart, that beware, there's some trouble lying ahead. And this is the beginning of the Song of Moses, this last verse. I don't know why they divided the chapter right here. It should probably be verse 1 of chapter 32. It says, "Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." And here it is. "Give ear." I don't know what the tune is, but you know, this is a song. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, and the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers, and the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that has bought thee? Has he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and that's cow, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and you did drink the pure blood of the grape, the juice of the grape. But Jeshurun got fat and kicked. You've grown fat and you've grown thick. You're covered with fatness, and he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to devils, not to gods, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. They're making gods up here, and whom your fathers didn't fear, of the rock that begat you. You're unmindful and have forgotten the God that formed you. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters, speaking of the children of Israel. And he said, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see that their end shall be, or what their end shall be, for they are a very froward or evil generation, children in whom is no faith. They've moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They've provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Quite a history lesson here and a future lesson. For a fire is kindled in my anger, shall burn under the lowest hell, shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat, with burning bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without or outside and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also and the man with gray hairs, so none are spared. I said I would scatter them into corners. I'd make the remembrance of them deceased from among men, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high. The Lord has not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? And the Lord doesn't care about numbers. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store for me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them make haste, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants, when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Lest let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Sound familiar? In the New Testament also. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh. And that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spoke all the words of this song to the ears of the people, he and Hosea, the son of Nun, Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, set your hearts to all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Well, this is a legacy he's leaving behind. He's telling them the things to be careful of. And the Lord spoke to Moses that self same day, saying, get up to the mountain. He's about to die at Mount Nebo now. Get up into this mountain of Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount where you go up, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. This is why he's not passing into the land, because of his behavior there. Yet you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go in to the land which I give the children of Israel. So the Lord is telling Moses once again, I did tell you, and I don't speak lies, I only tell truth. You won't be going into the land. And then Moses' final blessing on Israel here, verse chapter 33, he says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them, for he shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in your hand. And they sat down at his feet, at thy feet, everyone shall receive thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said to his fathers and his mother, or his father and his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt offerings, and whole burnt a sacrifice upon thy altar. Bless the Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin, he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph, he said, Blessed of the Lord be this land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couch beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun and the precious things put forth by the moon, for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills, for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, lest the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, upon the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bull. His horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people into the mountain. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwells as a lion and tears the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. And Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with flavor, or with favor, and full of the with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, as thy days shall, so shall thy strength be. And there is none like unto the Lord, unto the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Pretty powerful stuff. And then finally, chapter 34, as Moses actually goes and dies there. Moses went up, he was told to go. He went up from the plains of Moab, under the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that's over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, all the way to Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, to the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said to him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thee, and to thy seed, thy children. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, after having seen, he died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-peor. But no man knows of his sepulchre unto this day. Why? Because the Lord buried him. and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened to him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, in all that mighty land, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Covenant of the law. We're not under the covenant of the law now. We're under a new covenant, not based on performance, but based on faith in the Son of God. When Jesus said in Matthew 26, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins," he meant that this new covenant is not based on my ability to keep the law, your ability to keep the law, that power within myself. It's not based on a power within myself to do anything. It's not based on the good works that I have done. It's interesting. Paul in Romans 3:20 said, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." It shows us what sin is. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul said, "The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we may just be justified by faith." So that we're in the new covenant based on faith in Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law. We are in Christ, who fulfilled the law. His righteousness is on me. His righteousness is on you. And God sees us as righteous because we're in Christ. That's God's grace to me. That's God's grace to you. And we just went through 34 chapters of the law, the covenant of the law. Aren't you glad you aren't under the covenant of the law, but you're under the covenant of grace through faith in the Son of God? Lord, what a measure of grace upon us, Lord, that you would see us as righteous through Christ who fulfilled the law. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for the law which is perfect, but we aren't. Thank you for Jesus who is perfect, but we aren't. Thank you for the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to we, the imperfect ones. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.